God has a place of grace and rest for you. No matter what challenge stands before you, through God's grace, you have the victory. On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, receive help that will prepare you for the year ahead.
In talking about your place, the grace side of it is the enablement to be the body part that you're called and made to be.
That's what's got me so stirred.
I know it, me too. And the word grace has been underappreciated, undervalued. People have known it was tremendous. We're saved by grace. But it's usually been people talking about the favor, the unmerited favor is usually what you hear. And the grace of God is the favor of God, without question. But it's much more. The grace of God is also the enablement of God. It is the empowerment of God. God's grace on us and in us. First, I could say it like this. It is His grace that we have the opportunity to be His child, to serve Him. But the grace of God doesn't just give us the opportunity, it gives us the ability
to carry it out.
To carry it out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different measures of grace. The Bible teaches that we are to grow in grace. And though God gives you a measure of grace in an area to begin with, that can go far beyond where you start and where you begin. The Bible talks about in the beginning days of the church, great grace was upon them all.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning.
So there is grace, and then there's more grace, the Bible talks about. And then there's great grace. There's overflowing grace.
And then there's all grace abounding.
And that's the overflowing. The abounding, it has to do with the Amplified in talking about abundance in John 10:10. Talks about life to the full, overflowing.
Overflowing,
yeah. And there is overflowing grace. I know you've experienced this. I know when I mention it, you'll remember situations in your own life. I've had situations in my life. I know every day that I made it through and that I was able to do anything of any merit, it was the grace of God. Mm-hmm. But there have been days that it seemed tougher and harder. But there have been days that the grace was so strong, and there have been services that the grace was so strong, I wasn't aware of assistance. It's like it's carrying me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
There is grace that'll help you, but then there's grace beyond that that'll literally carry you.
With attitude to turn and run.
Yeah.
I've experienced that at times when I knew. For instance, we went on daily television. We'd been on Sundays mm-hmm. one day a week for some time, some years. Right at the time back in the 80s when the stock in TV preachers was at an all-time low.
Way down.
Whoa, man, you didn't even want anybody to know it's me on there, you know, that kind of thing. And the Lord said, I want you to go on daily. Oh, the thing that hit me then was, oh my goodness, I thought I was tired now. Now, what am I going to do with another 6 days of that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, about it. Mm-hmm. He said, well, there's one thing about a daily. I thought, yeah, here it comes. He said, it's so daily.
Daily.
I didn't want to hear that. That's what was bothering me in the first place. But when I made the decision to do it.
Yeah, grace.
Here came the buoyancy.
Yeah.
It that lifted you up mm-hmm. to it. Now, there were other things that I was doing that I didn't have that lift in it. Mm-hmm. And I began to learn, you know, He never told me to do this in the first place. This is something that I got hooked up mm-hmm. into. Because I could see the need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some blessing in it because it was God's Word and I was helping some people, but it wasn't my place and mm-hmm. I shouldn't have been there. And when I got out of it, oh, I was glad to get that off of it because He didn't tell me to do it in the first place.
Right, right.
So here I am, I'm acting like an eye, and I'm not an eye, I'm a nose, you know. And so the point that I wanted to just inject into your minds so that you could hold this as we flow through this. Whatever He's planned for you to do, He has planned everything it takes for you to do it. You don't have to be concerned about having the money, the strength, the education, and all of that. No, 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 no. His grace.
Yes. Yes.
That's the key issue, isn't it?
The Lord gave me these phrases. With enough grace, you can receive anything. With enough grace, you can overcome anything. With enough grace, you can do and be and accomplish anything. Anything that He's called you to do, anything that He's made available to you, anything the enemy tries to throw, it doesn't matter what it is. With enough grace, you can come right over it. And there are things we can do to access more grace. It's never a situation of us waiting on Him to give us more grace or the grace being insufficient. His grace is sufficient always.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And more than enough.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a matter of us accessing the grace. And the Bible tells us we do that by faith.
It is by faith so that it might be by grace.
Yeah, we enter into the grace by faith. In Romans 12, in fact, we could read it if you want to. He says in Romans 12 and 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace.
Wow.
The gifts are grace. That's what the gifts are. The gift is a grace. And the graces are so many amazing differences in the graces.
Now, there's more to this than the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12.
Yeah.
That's not what this
no.
is. Not only what this is referring to, is it?
No, this is talking about gifts He's placed in us as an individual that enable us to be the body part He created us to be. Having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given, whether prophesy, according to the proportion of faith or ministry. That phrase is repeated throughout that whole verse 7. You minister according to the proportion of faith, or you teach according to the proportion of faith. You exhort according to the proportion of faith. You give according to the proportion of faith. You rule with diligence according to the proportion of faith. It all comes back to the grace you operate in has to do with your measure of faith. You access it. I know in preaching and teaching, I know it was this way with you. It's this way with every minister. When I first started preaching and teaching, man, I'd work for days on something to get through 5 or 10 minutes, and I was reliant on what I had thought out beforehand. And the Lord, as I developed, the Lord had helped me to see I didn't have to have it all planned out before I could share it. I didn't have to have it in my notes. I could sense there was revelation. It's what you and I are doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can sense there's something there the Lord wants to get out. Well, how do you get it out? It's just like speaking in tongues. How do you speak a language that you don't know? How do you? Well, you know it's there. You believe you can express it. You start to express it by faith. And ever how much you'll yield to express it, you access grace. Then the grace enables you to express it. Well, we've learned that there's no end to that. The getting revelation and understanding from God is not limited to what He's not stingy with His light and revelation, just doling out a little bit when He decides to. It's available. The grace is abounding. It's super abundant. But it's only accessed by our faith. So many are accessing in such a shallow, scant measure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the ability God would give us and flow through us to do our ministry and what we're called to do. And I'm not just talking about preaching. He mentions different other ministries besides preaching. But whatever it is you are, whatever it is you're called to do, you can minister so far beyond your ability if you'll step out by faith.
You need to find your time away and rest. This is not something that's optional. This isn't something that you have the choice whether or not you're going to heed the commandment of God. No, you've done good to heed His instruction to go and do. You've done good to heed His instruction when He's called you into the ministry and equipped you to do those things. But listen to the voice, that still small voice, that inward witness of the Holy Spirit when He says, "Now I need you to rest." Husbands, now I need you to take your wives and your kids and take them away and rest. Let Him restore your soul. It'll do you no good to pray and pray and pray and pray and say, "God, I'm just worn out. Give me patience. I've been saying the wrong things. I've been flying off the handle at my wife, or I've been barking back at my husband. God, help me with that." You know what He's going to say? Rest. He's going to say, "You have taken your emotions to the very end of how far they can go, and now you need to rest," because as Psalm 23 says, He restores your soul. You remember what He said? "He makes me lie down in green pastures." God is saying, go lay down. Go rest. Go get the rest that you need to get built back up. You're not dealing with an unlimited supply of patience and kindness and love here. Those things are restored to you as you spend time with Him. He is the restorer of your soul. Your rest and your restoration are intimately connected to each other. And we've been talking about these things, but several days into this, we began to see that our outward rest and the rebuilding of our bodies and the restoration of our health only can come when there's an inward rest. And we saw in Matthew chapter 11 and Mark chapter 2 where Jesus began to introduce this new way of living, a way called grace. Not just grace that you're saved by, grace that you live by. Not just grace for the forgiveness of your sins, but grace to live victoriously over sin. All of that is grace because it's a gift from God to you through Jesus. That's how you identify grace. And Jesus identified it here in Matthew 11, verse 28, when He said, "Come to Me." You've been leaning on your own understanding. You've been looking to yourself to try to accomplish this, and now you're worn out. Now you're burdened beyond the point where you can't even walk right anymore. You are so heavy. You are so weighed down. And Jesus says, "Here's your solution. Come to Me. Stop trying to do this on your own. Come to Me. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I love that. He doesn't say, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you some more to do. I'm going to give you some more to think about. You think what you've been doing is good so far? Here comes some more at you. Oh, you think that's good, boys? I sent you out. You got a few people healed and saved. What about the rest of them that are dying?" I don't know why my Jesus got country all of a sudden, but evidently, I don't know. But that's not what He said, is it? Is it? No. He said, when they came back to Him and they had done all these things for Him and through Him and with Him, He said, "Now it's time to rest." And people who were burdened, when they came to Him, He said, instead of saying, "I'm going to give you more," He said, "I'm going to give you rest." Your salvation is grace because it's a gift through Jesus. Your forgiveness is grace because it's a gift through Jesus. And just as those things are a gift to you, your rest is a gift from God to you through Jesus. Just let this wash over you. Just let this renew your mind. Because I'm saying some pretty big things here. I am telling you that the work is done. I am telling you that the work has been accomplished and it was completed perfectly through Jesus. And now He gives you the reward of that work. He gives you the rest. God saw on days 1 through 6 of creation. He saw that His work was good. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, what did He do? He rested because the work was done. Now, that's the only appropriate time for rest. Did you know that? It's not appropriate to quit before something's accomplished. It's not appropriate for you to quit just after you started something because it got real hard. The appropriate time to rest is when it's accomplished. And I am telling you that your healing is accomplished, and now it's time to rest in it. Do you see me? Do you see me at rest right now? I am at rest right now, seated in this chair. What does that mean? I have taken all my body weight, I've taken all of it, and I have put it on this chair. Now, when I came into the studio today and I sat down in this chair, I did not stand here and or pace around this table for about 10 or 15 minutes hoping, wondering, wishing that this chair is going to hold me up. Oh, maybe it will, maybe it won't. You know what I did? I threw it back and I sat down. I was confident that this chair would hold me. And here I sit. That's rest. That is a demonstration of faith. God, who is love, gave you Jesus, who is grace, and you, through faith in Him, have a hope for your future. All of that is a picture of resting in what's been accomplished for you. Now, as we finish out this week, what I want to do is I just want to continue to allow the Word of God to paint a picture for you of rest. Because, and I said all that, and I began by saying this, we've preached faith, and I'm continuing to preach faith on these broadcasts, but what I'm doing is I'm preaching the resting side of faith. So you may be well accustomed to that fighting side of faith. You may be well aware of that confessing side of faith, or that praying side of faith, or that giving side of faith, and all those things are good, but they must come out of this resting side. You know, we confess the Word not in an effort to make something happen. We confess the Word because we're at rest that it's already been accomplished. I confess, 1 Peter 2:24, He, by His stripes, I was healed. I confess that. And I say it. And I say it with enthusiasm. I say it with energy. I am fully persuaded. But I don't say it 1,000 times in a day in hopes that when I get to 1,001, God's going to say, finally, you said it enough, here's your healing. No, that's not why I confess, and that shouldn't be the reason you confess either. We confess, our confession is out of this rest. Confess from your rest. See, that's true because it rhymes. No, it's not true because it rhymes. It's true because it's the Word, all right? It's true because it's founded deeply in the Word of God. My rest for my healing is found in 1 Peter 2:24, found in Galatians 3:13, found in God's introduction to man as I am the God that healeth thee. Hey, He said it. I'm going to take all my weight and throw it on Him. And I'm going to rest in His finished, completed work. That's the resting side of faith. Now, when we get into next week's broadcast, I want you to make sure you're really plugged into them, because we're going to begin to talk practically, how do we enter into this place of rest? There are keys, I believe, to entering into this place of rest. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4 that says labor to enter into the rest. And at first glance, you think, labor and rest, those don't sound like they go together. I'm going to explain those things to you. But as we finish out this week, as we wrap all of this up, I want to let the Word of God communicate to you a picture of rest. Let me read to you once again Psalm 23. I was so thrilled when the Lord ministered this to me as a picture of rest. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Just take these words and let them come to life in you. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, Lord, explain that to me. What's that mean? What's that mean? That means I'm not on my own. That means I don't have to figure out where I'm going. I've got a shepherd, and a shepherd's job is to lead. And I take this and I couple it with what Jesus said. He said, my sheep know my voice, because I'm the good shepherd, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be at fear that I'm going to make a wrong choice or do the wrong thing. I'm going to rest in my good shepherd. I'm going to rest knowing that I hear His voice, and a stranger's voice I will not follow. And He says, I shall not want. That want, that want that represents a need in your life, every time you identify a need, don't be quick to try to begin to figure out what are we going to do to get this need met? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What am I going to do? Right then, you have stood up from your place of rest, and you have put all that pressure back on you. But He says, I'm your shepherd, and because I'm your shepherd, you shall not want. When you are your own shepherd, you want for everything.
Monique, I saw that big check you wrote to the orphanage.
You know that kids are my passion. Being able to do that was a dream come true.
So how do you do it? What's your secret?
A book, Blessed Beyond Measure by Gloria Copeland.
A book?
Reading the book and working the Blessed Beyond Measure devotional together challenged my thinking and changed my life.
Changed your life? What does your thinking have to do with being blessed?
Well, I was all about mine and had no idea that God wanted me to be blessed so that I could be a blessing.
So how did you get from just wanting to be blessed to actually being a blessing?
I had to change my thinking to change my life. I had to believe the word, speak the word, act on the word, and never doubt the word.
And the book and journal helped you do all that.
It was like having Gloria Copeland right there walking me through the how-tos of creating a deeper relationship with God. Getting to this point was no joke, but the reward is living. Blessed beyond measure!
Order the Blessed Beyond Measure package today at a special 35% savings. Receive both the book and the devotional journal by Gloria Copeland for just $18. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your Blessed Beyond Measure package online at kcm.org. If you prefer to order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org.
The Blessed Beyond Measure package, Gloria's book, Blessed Beyond Measure, and the Blessed Beyond Measure devotional journal. Amen. Now let me give you an assignment here. I want to show you something that this is going to amaze you. I'm telling you, it's amazing what the goodness of God and an awareness of that goodness will do to your life.
An expectation.
Now, even when God's people were not living in the promised land of Israel, when they were in captivity in Babylon, God wanted to provide them with good places to live. Now, listen to what He said to them. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. God said, I'll bless you in Babylon if you just listen to me and just do what I tell you to do. Now, let me give you this assignment. You take your devotional journal every day, and you read that day's blessing, and then you spend all day that day looking for your blessing from God's goodness.
Amen.
You spend all day looking for that, and you write it down. Hey, look at there. That's a blessing. And write that down. And you meet somebody new, you say, whoa, that was a blessing. And write that down. And you come down to the end of the day. Look at that. God blessed me all day.
I think I'm going to do that myself.
And then the next day, you do the same thing.
That's good.
Now, what's going to happen, Gloria, when you get down here to this time next year and all of those blessings have come, you're aware of it, and you have acknowledged them, you look up in your concordance about acknowledging God in your thinking, in your mouth, in your heart, and see what the Word says about it.
Every day you receive the blessing. Yay.
Every day.
I like
and you,
that.
You, the big thing here, you're looking for it. And when you start looking for it, and you get your spirit man get excited about it, and it's the Word that you get excited about it that works for you. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, this is strong. Father, we praise
you, Lord.
And we pray for every person in the sound of our voice throughout this whole television, radio audience,
all over the world.
Through the whole world. In Jesus' name, thank you for it, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your goodness is just overwhelming.
Glory to God.
You don't have to be alone. KCM is here for you. And I'm telling you, we're only a phone call away. Now, I don't know how other ministries handle that, but I know we have trained, praying, believing people that think faith, live the love of God that are on those telephones.
That's right.
And they're here on this property.
They're not in Hong Kong.
No, they're not someplace. They're not people we hire someplace
right
to answer the telephone. And, you know, there's another man in the Fort Worth area named Kenneth Copeland. And he's in the phone book, bless his heart. And I asked him one day, I said, do you get phone calls looking for me? I said, are you kidding me? I said, do people call you 2 o'clock in the morning? He said, yeah, I've had 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I said, what do you do? He said, I just pray for him, go back to bed. He's a believer. Bless his heart. Glory to God. Amen. So call us day or night, Fort Worth, Texas. Use that free toll number. We've got offices around the world also.
Yes.
Check their hours of operation. And we just want you to know we're here and God's here and we're together.
Yes.
Now listen, whatever you compromise to keep, you'll eventually lose. But here's the other word for 2011. Everything's going to be all right.
Everything
is going to be all right.
Right. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you for being our partners. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit us at kcm.org. There you can purchase this broadcast and other KCM products. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God, awaken your heart to Him, and live in the blessing every day. Come to these exciting meetings. Come with us to the 2011 Annual Word of Faith Conference, June 17th at the Word of Faith International Christian Center in Southfield, Michigan. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Join us for the Words of His Power Conference, Thursday to Sunday, the 10th through 13th of February at Words of Life Fellowship Church, North Miami Beach, Florida. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.